Masechet Pesachim has been dedicated by Mr. Ike J. Shehebar in honor of his grandparents, Mr. Ike and Jeanette Beebe. We bless Mr. Ike Shehebar, who's been a sponsor of the Daf Yomi for many days. They should continue to enjoy success, health, and happiness. May his grandparents also enjoy much nachat from him as well as all their grandchildren, and may they only share in simachot for the entire family. Amen. Davav. Today's daf has been dedicated by Mr. Chaim Setin, none of his dear friend, Rabbi Ezra Saban, two members of our Daf Yomi class. May they both enjoy happiness, health, beracha, prosperity, all their heart's desires. Amen.
Amen.
Today's daf is being studied l'fu'ah shenema b'benu Yitzhak Kaduri ben Tufeha. El na refana lo, el na refana lo, el na refana lo, betoch she'ar chole amo Yisrael. Amen. Today's daf is being studied l'adu nishmat acham Baruch, Rafael ben Miriam, and Abraham ben Esther. Ruach Hashem terechem began Eden. Amen. We are going to start today on daf he amud bet, and we are going to start on the first of the wide lines, Amar Mor. Just to review very quickly, we had a braita on yesterday's daf that basically brought two pesukim. One pasuk was, Shiv'at yamim se'or lo yimatze bebatechem. And another pasuk was, Ve'lo yira'e lecha hametz bechol gibulecha. From the pasuk, lo yira'e lecha, the Gemara made a diyuk and said, lecha i'ataro'eh, which means your hametz, you're not allowed to see. Not allowed to own, but other people's hametz is mutar. However, from the pasuk seor lo yimatzeh bebatechem, the Gemara said lo yimatzeh, doesn't say lecha, lo yimatzeh at all, which means you don't have to have even hametz of others. So the Gemara now is going to have to reconcile how does both pesukim coexist, lo yira'e lecha and seor lo yimatzeh. So the Gemara says Amar Mor. We had a statement, Yachol Yetmi. You think it's permissible to bury the Hametz. V'yekabel pikdonot ben anokrim, or let's say receive collaterals from the Goyim. Talmud lomar, lo yimatzeh. From lo yimatzeh we learn that even if the Hametz is buried, you can't see it, doesn't matter. Lo yimatzeh. It should not be found. And even if you accept by Goyim, it doesn't say the word lecha, therefore it's also going to be asur. What do you mean? Ha amart resha, you told me in the resha of the braita, shelecha I ataro'e, that you cannot see your own hametz, aval ataro'e, shel achirim, v'shel gavoa. You're allowed to have in your possession hametz that belongs to others, or let's say a hekdesh. So the Gemara says, lakasha. So the Gemara answers, the stira, ha de kabin ale acharayut, ha de la kabin ale acharayut. It depends if you accepted responsibility or not. If you accept responsibility for the, let's say, the goyim's hametz, so then you're going to be hayav for it, because you're responsible for it. If you didn't accept the achrayut for it, he gives it to you, you have no responsibility. If something happens to it, or if you were negligent, or something, you have no responsibility, so you're not going to be hayav. So that's ultimately the Gemara's chiluk when it comes to hametz of others. Did you accept the achrayut or not? There's a great machlokin amongst the rishonim. What level of achrayut do you have to accept? The machloket spans from somebody shonim saying, even if you're just merely a shomer hinam, which means you're not even getting paid to do it, still you're going to be, that's considered a achrayut. And some say, no, the achrayut has to be to the other extent where you have to accept upon yourself even onus, which means even if something, circumstances, accidents, you're still hayav. So that's basically the opinions amongst the Rishonim, spanning anywhere from a Shomer Hinam, which has a limited liability, all the way to a Shoel, that would have the highest responsibility. In any event, that's the basic principle, responsibility or not. Ki had amalu Rabba l'bnei Mechoza, like the story that Rabba told the people of Mechoza, Be'iru hamira d'bnei Chela mibataychu, said, burn the Hametz of the armies that are in your house. Used to be, as she says, that the king, the soldiers to pass by, let's say, through the city, and they used to get different provisions. And they used to put the provisions of the armies in the people's homes. Mm-hmm. You know, they should, have some food when they get to the towns. So Rabbi would tell the people, listen, make sure that hametz of the goyim that's in your possession, get rid of it before hametz. Why? Because if this hametz gets stolen, or you lose it, it's considered in your reshut, and you're going to have to pay, and therefore it's considered like yours, v'asur. He was trying to tell him, you're responsible. The king's coming after you to get remuneration for this over here. So therefore, he tells them to burn. So again, you see the principle of hametz that you're responsible for, you're going to be hayav. So the Gemara says, "Hani haleman damar davar agorim lemamon kemamon dame." Now there's a great machloket in Masechet Baba Kama between Rabbi Shimon and the Hakamim on a principle called davar agorim lemamon. What is davar agorim lemamon? I'll give you the example so you can understand the situation. A person has an animal, and he designates the animal hekdesh, and to bring it as a korban. Okay? So now, at that moment when he designates it, it's Kodesh. Let's say somebody comes and steals that animal. There's a question now, that person who stole the animal is a ganav. Does that ganav that stole the animal have to pay kefir? Does he have to pay double? Well, what's the she'ela? He stole. She'ela, well, he didn't steal from a person. He stole from God. He stole from Gavoa, because that person sanctified it as a korban. So the Bishop answers, he still has to pay kefil. Why? Because by stealing that animal now, the fellow that designated an animal for Kodesh has to replace it. We're talking about where he did it in a situation where he has to replace it. So now you were gorem, this person, to have to pay or bring another korban. So davara gorem lemamon, an item that causes the owner money, is considered mamon. And therefore, it's as if you stole his korban. Because by stealing it, you're obligating him to pay and replace it. That's called davar gorem lemamon. So therefore, the Mishnah says, it's kimamon dame. Hachamim say, no, you stole an animal of Ekdesh. I mean, this is, I don't give it's gorem lemamon. Bottom line, right now, it's Kodesh. How does this apply to this case over here? It applies to this case over here, where you have the hametz of the, let's say, the king, in the houses, in the homes. So Rabbah told them, get rid of it. Why? Because if the king comes after you, if you lose it and you get stolen, you're going to have to pay. Oh, that's very good if you're davara gorem lemamon, is kemamon dame. Which means, since this item over here is really not theirs, it's the king's, but it's gorem lemamon, meaning if it gets stolen, you're going to have to pay out of your own pocket. So therefore we treat that hametz that's not yours as if it is yours. Davar gorem lemamon, something that is going to cause you to pay from your pocket, is considered yours from now. So therefore it makes sense why this law is as such. However, the Gemara says, three lines on the bottom. But according to Brindis, it says, why would I have to be responsible to burn such chametz? It's not mine. Even though it's gorem lemamon, achamim hold davar gorem lemamon lav kemamon dame. So what's the reason why I would have to get rid of such chametz? So the Gemara says, you're right. Technically, you should not have to, according to that opinion. But shani hacha de'amar lo yimatzeh. We have a gezerat ketuvah over here. That's it. You're right. According to the deen, should not be hayav, according to that opinion. But since we have gezerat ketuv, lo yimatzeh bebatechem, it comes to include even a davar, agorim lemamon. Ika de'amri, some have this a different way. Hani ha'aleman damar, davar agorim lemamon, lav kemamon dame, haynu de'itztarich lo yimatzeh. Some look at it the other way. If you hold like the Hachamim that say, davar agorim lemamon, lav kemamon dame, so that's why you need a pasuk to come and tell you, no, this is different. So the pasuk of lo yimatzeh is necessary. That even if it's not yours, that it's only a gorem lemamon, doesn't matter. So the pasuk is necessary. Ela leman de amar kemamon dame. But according to the opinion, it's like mamon. Lo yimatze lamali. We're running the pasuk for it. Superfluous the pasuk. I know it from the general principle of the baragorim lamon is kamamon. So Gemara says, tarich. You need the pasuk anyway. Why? I would have thought, if the hametz is still around, hadar be'ene, you just return the actual hametz, la birshutekae. So therefore it's not considered in your reshut, kamash ma'alam. What is it Gemara saying here? I would have thought that maybe davar gorem lemamon, kemamon dame, only kicks in once the item, let's say, is stolen. For example, by the korban. Once the thief steals the korban, now you've activated the davar gorem lemamon now. Because now it's gorem lemamon. As long as the guy has the korban, it's not gorem lemamon. He has it. So now, once it's stolen, now it's, now you activated gorem lemamon. Now already it's kemamon, you have to pay kefil. But as long as it's there, I would say, it's not considered gorem lemamon. And if I would say the same thing with the hametz of the goyim. As long as you have the hametz of the goyim in your house, I would have said, listen, no, I didn't lose it yet, I didn't steal it yet, therefore I don't have to get rid of it yet, because it's not goyim lemamon. Only after I lose it, and only after it gets stolen, then it's because, kamash ma'alan, no. It's considered davar goyim lemamon at the beginning, from the inception, because it can get stolen, and it can lead to Gorem lemamon. And therefore that was the Havamina. Havamina what? That it's not Gorem lemamon until it actually gets stolen or actually gets lost. And therefore I wouldn't have to burn the hametz because I still have it. Kamash ma'alam, it's a Gorem lemamon from the beginning. Comes the Gemara and says, Ba'umine merabah. Okay, side questions here. Be'mat arnona, hayevet bechora, or in hayevet bechora? What's arnona? Arnona is a tax. So the royal tax, exactly. The king takes a certain tax every year. So the she'la is like this. We know there's a din of a bechor, a firstborn animal from the womb. The halakha says you have to give it to the kohen. That's one of the entitlements of the kohen. Kohen gets the bechor, bechora. However, the Torah says that if you have a partnership, let's say with a goy, in an animal, that bechor is patur from bechora. You don't have to give it to the kohen. So the she'la is like this. You have a flock of animals, say sheep, okay? The king takes every tenth animal he takes for himself. That's the tax that he charges. So the she'ela is, can the Yisrael come and tell the Kohen, hey listen, that tenth one was yours. Therefore, I'm patur from Bechor. Or could the Kohen come along and say, hey, that wasn't mine, maybe the king took a different animal and my Bechor really is still in the flock. It's not a case where he has a percentage of every animal. If he has a percentage of every animal, then for sure, his partners in every animal, you patur. The she'ela is where he's picking one out of ten, so the she'ela is the hayuv of bechor still applicable? So the Gemara says, kol echad matzeh mitzalek lebezuzeh, if you're able to appease the king and pay with money instead of the animal, when the king's tax collectors come to take the animal, if you're able to tell us, instead of giving you animal, I'll give you, $100, so then already, then for sure you're hayav. Because bottom line, the animals are still yours. You're able to pay it off with money, the tax. The question really is, the question is where you cannot redeem the animal with money, so therefore you actually have to pay, give the animal itself. Mai, what's the deen? Amar deu petura. So he answered them, doesn't matter. Petura, it's your off the hook from the Bechor. So what do you mean? Batanya hayevet. Oh, we have a brighter that says, hayevet. Amara says, hatam de matzim itzalekle. That case over there, which is hayevet, is because you're able to redeem it, the tax with money. And therefore, you're hayevet. Simple answer. Ika de amri, some have a different version. Amar rabah, behemat arnona, petura mena bechora. Behemat arnona, the animal that's being taken from the king's tax, is petura ve'afal gav de matze misalekle. And even if you could pay it off, this opinion holds, you patur all cases. Bottom line, the king can take an animal, that's considered he has like a shutafut, he has a partnership in one of the animals, and therefore, even if you could pay him off with money, bottom line, since you didn't pay him off with money yet, so therefore, it's considered he has rights to that animal, and then we're going to be petura. Isat Arnona. Well, now we go to the next law. We know there's a law of hala. Person has a certain amount of hala, dough, that he's making us to give a piece of it to the Kohen. But the Torah says, Reshit Arisotechem, that only if it's yours. However, if the goy has a chelik in the Isa, Petura. So here again, the goy has a chelik because he takes from every quantity of Isa, he takes a Arnona. So the Gemara says, Isat Arnona, Hayevet Behala. Oh, here it says that even though the goy is taking, the king is taking, the tax chayevet. Va'afalgav delo matze misalekle. And even though you cannot misalek the king, which means really it is, he's taking it and there's nothing to do with it. And therefore really should be patur, because that's his, still chayevet. So the Gemara says, what's the logic over here? My tama, the Gemara says, Behema itle kala, isa litle kala. The difference is over here, it's a marit ayin issue. Which means, people are going to see this guy not giving his animals to the Kohen. We're not worried. Behema itle kala. People hear what goes on with the animals. Everybody hears that the king is taking a tax, and therefore the king has a shutafut in the animals, and therefore we're not worried about the marit ayin, that people are going to think that the guy is not giving his bechor. But when it comes to Isa, that's not such a, not such a noise on that. There's not such a call on that. So people are going to see this guy having a whole pile of dough, and he's not giving to the Kohen. Of course he's saying, in his mind he's saying, I'm going to have to give. I got an anona over here. I can't misalek him. I have to give him the dough. Therefore technically, I'm patut to the Kohen. People don't know that. And therefore there's a marit ayin that while people are going to think that he's not giving his entitlements. So therefore on Isa, we put him on the ayin, and therefore you always got to give it to the Kohen nonetheless. And that's the way we can learn now the other braita. The other braita that said, Ve'atanya hayevet, I'll tell you something, chala. Which means, remember, we had two braitot. One said, Behemat arnona petura. Ve'atanya hayevet. Ve'atanya hayevet, there's something, chala. Chala, you always hayevet, because, let le, chala. Comes the Gemara and continues. Tanu Rabbanan. They were braita. Nochri shenichnas hatzeros shi Yisrael, a goy comes into the hatzer, to the courtyard of a Yisrael, ubetzeko biyado, and he walks in on Pesach and he has dough in his hand. En zakuk leba'ir, you don't have to burn it, nor do you have to kick him out. That she says, because we learned about ataru eshil acherim, lo yira elecha. So he walks into your house with some chametz in his hand. That's his chametz. You don't have to do anything. Hifkido etzlo, oh, but if he gave it to you as a collateral, zakuk leba'ir. And as we learned earlier, only in a case where you were accepting upon yourself, achrayut, where you have responsibility, then already it's considered hamet shel acherim with achrayut, going to be hayat, you got to get rid of it. Yihed lo ba'it, but let's say you didn't accept achrayut on it, but you designated for him a certain spot in your house for him to put his Hamet and him to be there. So the Gemara said, Rashi says, "Kulamar, lo kiblo alav ila amar le hare abayit lefanecha." Put it wherever you want. Hanach be'achad min hazaviyot. Put your hamets in one of the corners. I'll give you some space. En zakuk leba'ir. You're not obligated to mevayir in that case either. Shene emar lo yimatze, because the pasuk says lo yimatze. Now, what does that mean? Lo yimatze. Lo yimatze is mashma should be asur. So what's the Gemara brings? The Gemara says, "Maika amar, amar papa." It's going back on the first case. The loyim matze is going back on the first case. Meaning, if the goy gave you his chametz and you accepted upon yourself, meaning, under all situations, loyim matze, even if it's not yours, even though you just because you accepted achrayut. We like to tell you it's going on the case of yihed lo bayit, which we said is mutar. Why? It says it cannot be found in your homes. Now what's shot in a home? That area that you designated to the goy to put its chametz, it's not considered yours. Why? Because that area that the goy is walking into, that's considered his. It's not your bayit. The Torah says, Yichad lo bayit. It's as if I almost like rented it to him. You didn't actually rent it to him. But it's almost as if I'm giving him, this is your area, this is yours, not my bayit anymore. So therefore, Talmud lomar lo yimatzeh bebatechem. Therefore I'm going to be patur. So the Gemara says, lememrad eschirut kanya? Are you telling me over here when a guy rents, let's say an area to somebody, that's called sechirut. You're saying it's a kinyan, meaning he owns the area? Because that's not what you're saying over here. You're telling me it's not considered your bayit. By giving it to this guy, it's considered he owns that corner. Uh-huh. What? You're telling me sechirut renting actually makes a kinyan that the guy owns it? Can't be. Why that? Then we learned in the Mishnah and Masechet Avodah Zarah. Afbimkom she'amru lehaskir, which means the discussion over there was, are you allowed to rent a house or an apartment or property to goyim? So the Gemara said over there, really you're not supposed to rent to the goyim because we're concerned that they're going to bring in the Avodah Zarah. And now you're going to be housing Avodah Zarah on your property. So the Gemara says, and even in a place where the custom is to rent to them, lo lebetira amru. You cannot rent to the goyim for dwelling purposes. You could rent to them warehouse space, storage area, etc. Because they bring into the areas Avodah Zarah. You don't want to bring Avodah Zarah into your home, into your dwelling. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? And if you tell me that Sechirut is considered a Kenyan, so therefore when you rent your house out to the Goy, it becomes his house. So what are you worried about? He came Ayil, when he's going to bring the Avodah Zarah in, lebeted and afshik ha-ma'ayil. He's going to bring the Avodah Zarah into his own house. So therefore, do you tell me what? Sechirut lo kanya. So if it's sechirut lo kanya, so then how can we say if you had lo bayit by the hametz that the balabayit is off the hook? What do you mean? Sechirut lo kanya, it's not that the goy owns that area. So therefore, so bottom line, it's in your house. It's mebatechem. So the Gemara says, shani acha te'afkeh rachmana belashon lo yimatzeh. Torah's language of Hametz, lo yimatzeh. What does lo yimatzeh come to teach us? Shouldn't be found. Mishim matsui biyadecha, which means it's easily accessible to you. It's matsui to you, the Hametz. Yatza zeh, shenu matsui biyadecha. Because here, the goy is, you put it in a separate place, separate room over there. The goy might have access to it. That she says, shareh ota zavit mesura lenukhri. That corner, you gave over to the goy. So therefore, really, it's not a deed of sechirut. The goy doesn't own that spot. It's really considered your corner or your room. Right, but the Torah says, lo yimatzeh. Lo yimatzeh lecha, which means you shouldn't have hametz that's easily accessible to you. Mashiach, here, the goy, he has it's accessible to him, because he doesn't need him a spot. So therefore, one is patur. Amar Rav Yehuda. Next case. Amar Rav, hamotzeh hametz bebeto biyom tov. Oh, case, comes your holiday, yom tov, all of a sudden you find this hametz in your house. Now, as we learned yesterday, you can't burn it on Yom Tov. So what are you supposed to do? So the Gemara says, the option is, kofe alav et akeli. You take a keli and you cover it. Now what is that going to do by covering it? So that she says, de'aloch hazeh leteltuleh. Ve'apukeh. You can't pick up the hametz itself. The hametz is mukseh, obviously, on Yom Tov. So you can't do that. Umiyu bebal yira'eh lo avar. Now we're not worried about you being over bal yira'eh, meaning owning hametz, because she says they have batleh belibe me'etmol, because you did make bitul, like we're going to learn later on in the Gemara that the custom was, the deen is actually you have to make bitul before Pesach, so therefore it's not yours, it's ownerless. Kedamrin lekamana bodek slichshi batel belibo ela mishum shelo yishkach v'yochlenu sarik v'yat keli. The issue is over here. We don't want you to be looking at the donut, because what's going to happen? You might come to eat it. So therefore, what do we tell you? Take a keli and just cover it. Now, if you remember, we learned Masechet Shabbat together, that there's a shita that holds that a keli can only be moved for a tzorech davar nital. And therefore, this hametz over here is not nital. So therefore, how is that shita going to say you could lift, take the keli and cover it? So Tosfot gives two answers. Either you have to say that you lifted up the keli beheter, which means, let's say you needed tzorech mekomo of that keli. So once you're ready, you lift it because you need tzorech mekomo, it's in your hand already, now ready, you can cover the hametz. Or he says that Achamim waived it because of the Gezerav Dilma Atele Mechleh, that you might come to eat it, so that's already enough concern where we'll waive the Mukseh issue and you can lift the candy to cover the Hametz. Amar Rava, Rava says, Im Shel Hekdeshu Enot Tzarich. If the Hametz belongs to Hekdesh, you found all of a sudden the Hametz on Pesach, Hekdesh, Enot Tzarich. Because all year round you're not eating it anyway. So therefore, there's no suspicion that all of a sudden on Pesach you're going to come and eat hametz of hekdesh. Bedili in shemine. Person is is separated from it. My tama mivdal bedili mine, because he is separated from it. He doesn't eat hekdesh all year round, so he doesn't have to cover it up. Even the amar of you, the amar of hamsosh nochli. Okay, you have the hametz of a goy. Okay, it's in your house. Let's say a case where you didn't accept the harayut. So since you didn't accept the harayut, no problem. You can have the hametz in your house. Not a suit. However, oseh lo mechisa asara tefachim mishum heker. Before Pesach, just don't leave it in your house like that. Put a wall, make a wall to asara tefachim in order to, let's say, give it a separate area. Right? V'im shenekdeshu eno tzarich. But again, if it belongs to Ekdesh, this Hametz, you don't have to make a wall before the holiday or anything. Because why? Because you always bedile. Kemara, my tama mivdal bedile in shemine. Because the person refrains from it all year round. Look at Rashi. Rashi says in the first one, "Osilu mechitza v'arva asar." And you can't make a mechitza on the holiday. But you make a mechitza before the holiday. Mishu meker shlo yishkach v'yuchlenu v'nosayin bechviat keli. Oh, why don't you just say put a keli over it? Why? Because what happens? In the middle of the holiday, you're going to need the keli. What's going to end up happening? You're going to pick it up. Now the hametz is exposed. In the other case, you were burning it that night. Which means, in the other case, you found your hametz. Right? You found the donut. So what are you going to do? Once Yom Tov is over, Motzei Yom Tov, you burn it. So for the few hours that the keli's on it, I'm not worried that you're going to need the keli, lift, take it, and come to eat it. But Sheikh went to the hametz of the goy. It's staying in your house for 7 days. So if you're going to put a keli on it, the suspicion is what? You might pick up the keli to use it. Now it's exposed and you might come to eat it. So therefore the Gemara says, Osela mechitza, put it in like a separate area, put a wall up, in order that it is in a separate zone. Now the Gemara says, V'amar avi u'da amarav. Next case. Ha'mefaresh v'yotze b'shayira kodem 30 yom, en zakuk l'ba'ir. Okay, a person is leaving on a trip, before Pesach, before 30 days even. Right? He's leaving 35 days, let's say, before the holiday. He does not have to make the bidika. Of course, before he leaves, he'll make bitul. Right? So it's not his Eid of Pesach, whenever he's supposed to make the bitul, wherever he is, he'll make the bitul. However, the rabbis did not mandate that before he leaves, he has to actually make the bidikat hametz and get rid of the get rid of it. So the guy has hametz in his house, but so on, let him make bitul. However, tok shlushim yom, if he leaves within 30 days, zakuk leba'ir, then already he has to make the bidika with bi'ur hametz. So comes the Gemara and says, and the Gemara is going to say where they get this 30-day cutoff point, because the Gemara is going to tell us that we're going to learn that there's a deen that you have to start learning the laws of Pesach within 30 days before the holiday, and the Gemara is going to substantiate that from Pesukim. So if you see, once you're within 30 days, already the halakot of Pesach are on you. Before 30 days, already you're not subject to the laws. So the Gemara says, Amar Abaye. So Abaye comes along and says, the Amar tok shlushim yom zakuk leba'ir. And that which we said, that within 30 you have to get rid of the hametz, lo amaran ela shedato lachzor. Even that's only talking about where you're planning on coming back in the middle of the holiday to your house. Because why? We're worried you're going to come back to your house, you're going to see hametz in your house, and you might come to eat it. Aval en dachto lachzor, en zakuk lebayir. Which means, if a guy's not even planning to come back, so therefore even within 30 days, that's it, doesn't matter, because you're not coming back, you made your bitul, and finished. Mm-hmm. So the comes the Gemara and says, Amal le rabba, vi dachto lachzor. What are you talking about? If the guy has intention to come back, afilu merosh hashanah ameh. Because it sounds like from Abaye that the thing of coming back is only a deen within 30. But Mashpah, that if it's past 30, even if you're planning on coming back, you have no problem. So he says, what are you talking about? If you're planning on coming back, it shouldn't make a difference between before 30 or after 30. Which means, even if a guy left Rosh Hashanah, he left 6 months before Pesach. He's planning on coming back before Pesach, he's got to get rid of the hametz. So what are you talking about, Abaye? So Rabbi comes along and says, I'll explain it to you differently. That which we said before 30. He doesn't have to get rid of the hametz. Which means, that's when the en dachto lachzor works. Which is, they were lenient on you, the rabbis, that what? If you left before 30 and you're not planning on coming back, so we're not going to matriach you to make a bedika. Aval da'ato lachzor, afilu merosh shana zakuk lebayir. But da'ato lachzor, even from Rosh Hashanah. And the chidush is that within 30, even in da'ato lachzor, hayav. Because bottom line, you're within the zone of Pesach already. The rabbi said, you're not coming back? I don't care. You left within 30, you have to get rid of it. So the chidush of rabbi is you need two things to be off the hook. It's got to be past 30 and in da'ato lachzor. Then already we'll be lenient at what? You don't have to go through the bedika. Be'az the rabbi l'tameh. And the rabbi is following his reasoning. Ve'amar rava ha'oseh beto otzar. A guy, let's say, made from his house a storage. Rashi's, what did he do? Two lines on the bottom. Shechnis sham tevu'ah. He, let's say, brought wheat into his house, storage. Ve'tahteh ha'chametz. So he has piled up bundles of wheat, right? And underneath the wheat, there is chametz. So technically, it's really not so accessible. There's, you know, bushels and bushels of wheat under the chametz. So Rashi says, v'amin l'kaman, chametz shenafla alav mapolet, hareu kimbu'ar. Normally, so you have chametz. But let's say, rubble fell on the chametz, that's considered bi'ur. Because really, it's underneath all the rubble. So technically, it's not accessible. So technically, this case also, the chametz is under your storage of wheat. The wheat is not chametz, wheat is wheat. So therefore, technically, it should be okay. So what does Rava say? Ha'oseh beto otzar, kodem shloshim yom, if you did it before 30 days, en zakuk leba'ir. Which means we're not going to make you now go back and get this chametz. Because technically, really, it's mivu'ar already. Even though the Hakamim still wanted you to get rid of it. But in this case, we left before 30 days. So we're going to be lenient. However, tov shloshim yom zakuk leba'ir. And then Ava continues and says, Vekodim shloshim nameh. And even when I was lenient with you before 30 days, lo amran ela she'endato lefanoto. That's only talking about where you don't have intention to clear it out. But if your intention is to clear it out, so therefore clearly you see Rava holds you need two conditions. Before Shloshim, and also we have no intention either to clear out the storage or to return to your house. So Rava is consistent in his reasoning. Comes to Gabbanon says now. Comes to Gabbanon says, Hane Shloshim Yom, my avitayu. Okay, where'd they get this 30 days business? So the Gemara says, Kidetanya. We have a brayta. Shoalim v'doshim v'chot ha-Pesach, kodem ha-Pesach shloshim yom. Because the law is that, already from 30 days before Pesach, you have to start learning and questioning and analyzing the laws of Pesach. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, Shtei Shabbatot. He says, no, 2 weeks. You don't have to start 30 days. It's already 2 weeks is enough. My Tama the Tanakama, what's the logic of Tanakama? Why does he tell you what you need 30 days? Share Moshe Omed be Pesach Rishon, Umazir ala Pesach Sheni. Moshe Rabbeinu was standing on the 14th of Nisan, and he was teaching the laws to Bnei Israel regarding Pesach Sheni. What is Pesach Sheni? A month later, on the 14th of Iyar. Shene Emar, Veyasu Bnei Israel et Pesach Bemoado. Right, it says, and the Jewish people were doing the Pesach in its time, on the 14th of Nisan. Uchtiv, and it says, Vayhi anashim asher ayu tamei'im lenefesh adam. It says, and there were some people that what? They were tamei on that day, and I'm going to continue reading the Pasuk outside. Velo yachilu la'asot ha-Pesach bayom ahu, vayikribu lifnei Moshe v'nei Aaron bayom ahu. They came in front of Moshe and Aaron, and Moshe started to give them all the laws of what to do on Pesach Sheni, how to bring the Korban. So what do you see? That Moshe Rabbeinu taught the law of Pesach Sheni 30 days before. Now, Tosfot says, what kind of proof is that? That's because the situation arose. Doesn't sound like Moshe Rabbeinu was planning on teaching any halachot, but something happened. So the Tosfot, Dibur Matkeinu Masina Pesach Sheni, says, Afagav Sha'al Yideh She'elato, who's kak lomar lahen, Mikol Makom Noaya Sarich La'arich, Ela Al Ta'asu Pesach Vetula. He could have just told them a quick answer and said, you know what? All right, you don't do anything today. Then we'll discuss what you do after the holiday. From the fact that he went into it, how to bring a Korban Pesach, Sheni, etc., that shows you already there's an inyan to discuss the halakha 30 days before. So that's the proof of Hakamim. V'rabat Shimon Gamliel amad lecha, Aidi de Aidi bimilet de Pesha, Masik leu lechol milet de Pesha. He says, that's no proof. Once already he started to discuss the laws of Pesach with them, so he gave them all the laws, meaning like Tosfot's Havamina in Hakamin, that's what a bunch of people were able to hold. He started giving them the laws because they asked the question, so he continued to give them the laws as well. But it's no proof that you have to go from 30 days before. So the Gemara says, okay, my Tamad the Rabban Shimon Gamliel. Now what's the Rabban Shimon Gamliel's proof? How does he know? 2 weeks. Shere Moshe Omed Berosh Achodesh. Moshe Rabbeinu was standing on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Umasir ala Pesach. And he was giving him the laws of Kurban Pesach, which is 2 weeks later. Shere Emar, Achodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodashim. Right? God says, Nisan is considered Rosh Chodesh of the entire year. Yishonu Lachem Chodesh Hashana. Uchtiven, it says, Daberu il kol adat Yisrael demor. Speak to the Jewish people and tell them, Be'aso la'chodesh hazeh, v'yikru da'im iseh lebet avot. And what? And then they're going to have to sacrifice it on the 14th, which is 2 weeks later. So the Gemara says, hold it. Mimai de'beresh yarchaka'e. Who told you that when it says, Daberu il kol adat Yisrael demor, who said that Moshe Rabbeinu made that speech on Rosh Chodesh? Dilma b'arba'a b'yarcha or b'hamisha b'yarcha ka'e. It doesn't say that he spoke. It says, Achodesh elachem Rosh Chodeshim. Who says it wasn't Rosh Chodesh? This month, Nisan is considered the first month of the Jewish year. Speak to the Jewish nation. Does it say Moshe got up on Rosh Chodesh and made the speech of Pesach? No, maybe he got on the fourth day. Maybe he got on the fifth day. So what's your proof, Rabban Shimon Gamliel, that it was 2 weeks before? So the Gemara says, "Ela maraba parshimi mishemet ravina me'acha." From here, it's actually going to be a gezerah shava. It says one pasuk, "Vaydaber Hashem il Moshe b'midbar Sinai b'shana shenit b'chodesh harishon." Actually, that pasuk is talking about how God spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu in the midbar in the second year. Right, b'chodesh harishon. That's exactly when it was talking about Korban Pesach, right? B'chodesh harishon uchtiv, and it says v'yasu b'nei Yisrael t'pasach b'moadoh, and it says what the Jewish people did the Pesach b'moadoh. So again, we're bringing a proof from this pasuk that Moshe spoke in the second year, first month. Again, who said second year, first month was on the first day of the month? Could be was on the fourth or the fifth. Who told you we're speaking on Rosh Chodesh? Dilma ba'arba'a b'yarcha u'b'hamisha b'yarcha'e. Same question. Maybe we spoke on the fourth or fifth. So the Gemara says, okay, this is the Gezerah Shava. Amar Rav Nachman ben Yitzhak, atyam midbar, mimidbar. We have a Gezerah Shava, midbar, midbar. She says, there's one pasuk where we know it says the word midbar, and we know that was Rosh Chodesh. So in this pasuk where it says that he spoke to the Jewish people in the Midbar on Nisan, we're going to say it is Rosh Chodesh. Now, where is the Midbar that you know it's Rosh Chodesh? Ketivacha, it says in the beginning of the book of Bamidbar, Bimidbar Sinai. Well, it says by us, by Moshe with Korban Pesach. Ketivacha, it says by the Korban Pesach, he spoke to them when Bimidbar Sinai, Bimidbar Sinai, Moshe with Bar Sinai, Bashanah Shri Bahadur Tarishon. Uchtivatam, it says in the beginning of Bamidbar, וידבר השם אל משה במדבר סיני באוהל מועד באחד לחודש השני. He spoke to them, this is when they took the census, on the first day of the second month. In the first day of Rosh Chodesh, Iyar, that is. So therefore you see clearly the word midbar talking about Rosh Chodesh. And it says Moshe spoke in the midbar, בחודש הראשון, must be Rosh Chodesh. מה נעלם בראש חודש? אף כאן בראש חודש. And what was he telling them? In 2 weeks from now, you're going to have to bring Korban Pesach. So that's the proof of Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, which means it's two steps. First of all, you have the pasuk of Bimidbar, בחודש הראשון, and then you have a Gezerah Shava, Midbar, Midbar, to teach you that Chodesh Tishon is actually on Rosh Chodesh. Now, what is strange here, and the Gemara points it out right away, the Torah clearly is out of order. Because in the beginning of the Sefer Bamidbar, it opens up in the second month. Second month meaning, Rosh Chodesh Iyar. Bachodesh Hasheni Be'ehad HaChodesh. Then later on in Parashat Bahalotecha, where this pasuk is, a Pesach, it goes back to Bahodesh Harishon. So the Gemara asks, V'nichtov Beresha Dechodesh Rishon, V'adar Nichtov Dechodesh Sheni. Why did you write it in order? Write the first month first, and then write the second month following. So comes the Gemara and says, a principle, Amar Rav ben Ashiya bar Tachlifa, Meshemed Rav Zot Omeret, this teaches us the famous rule, En Mukdam Umeuchar Batorah. The Torah does not necessarily follow sequence of events. En Mukdam Umeuchar Batorah. Torah is not a storybook. It's given it here as the events happened. So sometimes it'll put events that happened earlier, it'll put it later, and it puts the later events earlier. Proof to this? The book of Bamidbar. It opens up in the second month, and then it goes back and tells us some history that it took place in the first month. So the Gemara says, wait, but even that principle of Emuk Damam Mohar Torah has some restrictions. It's not said in any case. Amara Papa, Lo Amaran Ela Betre Anyaneh. You only say this in two parashiyot. Which means from one parashah to another, you could say in Mukdamu Miuchar, like in our case, from the Pamidbar to Ba'alotecha. Aval Behad and Yana, but in one parashah, Maide Mukdam Mukdam, Umaide Miuchar Miuchar. In one parashah, you have to say the following sequence. You can't put things out of order. So that's a very important principle. And the Gemara is going to prove it now. Let me give you an introduction to the proof here. You have to say that in one parasha, you can't say emukdam emuhar baturah, because you know that there's 13 different principles or klalim how to doresh the Torah. For example, you have what's called a klal prat. What's a klal prat? Torah tells you you bring a korban. You have to bring min a behemah. Behemah is general, it's a klal. And then it tells you min a bakar u min a tzon. That already is a plat, klal plat. So the klal plat rule is that even though the klal lets me bring any behema, once the Torah gives me a plat that follows it, a specific, it's only the specific, which means it's bakar and so on. That's the way klal plat works. Specified, and that's what it becomes. It's not behema, any behema. It's bakar and so on. Example. Now, if you're going to tell me that in mukdamu milhar, even in one perasha, so maybe it's a prat klal. Because now you're telling me things are out of order. Now already, a prat klal works the exact opposite. A prat starts off, min a bakar min a tzon, then it would say, min a behema. So that comes to include everything. So therefore, if you're going to start saying that en mukdam mochar baturah in one perasha, so you're never be able to be doresh a klal prat, or for that matter, you'll never be able to doresh a prat, a klal prat, because it always could be the opposite. So comes the Gemara and says, "Ilo temache." But if you're not going to say this, klal uprat, the rule of a klal prat that says, "En beklal ela mashe beprat," which the klal only has in it what was specified by the prat, dilma prat uchlalhu. Maybe it's the opposite. Maybe it's a prat klal, and therefore it includes much more. The two, and that will go the other way. Prat uchlal. When it's a prat uchlal, which is inclusive, naase klal musaf ala prat, right? And now the klal adds to the prat, right? It's not only the prat itself, but when it's a prat klal, you're able to come to include much more. Dilma klal pratu. Maybe it's the opposite. Maybe it's a klal prat, and you only have the prat. So therefore, you can't say En mukdam uchar baTorah in one parasha, because then already you undo all the root of the rashot. So the Gemara says, and the Gemara is going to tell us like this: there is an opinion out there that holds that this rule of klal prat or prat klal can be nidrash from one parasha to the other. You could have a klal in one parasha, and you could have a prat in another parasha. Oh, once already you're coming along to say you can do it in other parashiyot, then you're going to knock out the rule of En Mukdam Mohar B'chol HaTorah. So the Gemara says, if this is your concern, afidu betre anyaniname. Then you should be concerned of even in two parashiyot. Why? Hani ha leman davar klatu prat hamru hakin ze mize endaninoto beklalu prat shapir. Which is, if you hold that you can't make a derash of a klal prat if it's distance from each other, we're okay. That's why you could say in mukdam meuhar from parasha to parasha. Ela leman damar danin. But according to your opinion, that says what? You can dan a klal prat from one parasha to another. My ikale memar. What are you going to say? Because now you undid the whole rule of in mukdam meuhar b'torah. Says afilu leman damar danin. Even the opinion that says you can go from one parasha to the next. Hanimile. That's only talking about in the same perasha itself. However, which means the maximum distance that we're going to give you for a cloud plot, even according to the opinion that doesn't have to be next to each other, is in the same anyan. Meaning the same perasha, the beginning of the perasha you got the cloud, the end of the perasha you got the plot. Okay, it's good. But to go from parashat Bamidbar and put the Prat in Parashat Ba'alotecha, not even that opinion holds. No. So therefore, we're back to the rule. In one parasha, we're not going to say Emukdam Mohar Batorah. But in Shtei Parashiyot, you will say Emukdam Mohar. And therefore, back to our original question, Sefer Bamidbar opens up in the second month, and then later on goes back to the first month. According to everybody, it's not a problem. Two Parashiyot, Emukdam Mohar. And that's indeed the proof of Rabbi Tzvi Gamliel, that Moshe stood on Rosh Chodesh and gave him the law of Pesach Rishon, which was 14 days later. What is this? What do we have to know for our purposes? Now we know where they got the 30-day rule. When a person is traveling, if he's within 30 days, according to Hachamim, we posek like, so maybe the Hayuv of Pesach is on him, and therefore even if according to Rabbi is intending not to come back, right, till after the holiday, doesn't matter. You leave within 30, the Hayuv HaBedikan Bi'ur is on you, and therefore you have to make the proper preparations before one leaves. Comes the Gemara and continues. Comes the Gemara and says, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav. Habodek Sarik Shibatir. Now we introduce the subject of bitul hametz. A person that's making bedika, he has to also involve himself in bitul. What is bitul, Rashi? Right, he renounces the hametz. Bilibo doesn't even have to be verbal even. In his heart, as she says. Samuch lebedika miyad, right after the bedika, he says, kal hamirad ika bebeta hadeh lebtil. All the hametz that's in this house now, let it be nullified. Yeah. So the Gemara says, "My Tama, what's the reason why you have to do this over here?" Which means, the guy made a bidika. He burnt everything that he found. So what do you have to make a renouncement over here? You're going to tell me, maybe with the crumbs. I mean, even the guy makes the best bidika, there's still little crumbs that are around there. Now, you're going to have these crumbs in the house. You're going to be over on Balirah. And Bali Matzah, they were doing out the crumbs. The Gemara says, crumbs? Halo chashive. Crumbs are not significant. Person doesn't have intention to acquire crumbs. And therefore, you're not going to be chayav on crumbs. So bitul cannot be for crumbs. So the Gemara says, wait. V'chi temakevan dimintali wagav beteh chashive. Maybe I'll tell you, listen. Maybe the crumbs are significant. Because bottom line, they're in his house. He's locking his house. Now, granted, he's not locking his house for the crumbs. He's locking his house for his furniture. But bottom line, since they're in a protected place, and therefore maybe that gives them certain hashivut, so maybe that's why you need the bitul for the crumbs, that she says. When he closes the door of his house to protect his other assets, those crumbs also become protected. But maybe I'll say that even though it's not on his mind, but maybe it's considered, it gives it a hashivut. So that's the Gemara's question here. Gemara says, wait, V'atanya, we learned in a braita. Sofet te'enim. What is sofet te'enim? A person, let's say, goes out into his field to collect the figs. There are certain figs that are still small. They didn't ripen yet. And usually those figs never ripen. Mm-hmm. They just remain unfit forever. So they're called sofet te'enim. Literally the ends of the leftover, the ends of the figs. Sofet te'enim. So again, sofet te'enim, you have these things in your field. U'mishamer sadeh u'mipnei anavim. But you don't really care about the sofet te'enim. But you still have grapes in your field. So you're protecting your field. You put the fence around your field. Why? Because you're worried about, you don't want anybody coming and taking your grapes. Or sofet anavim. You have the same case by the grapes. You have sofet anavim, which are not going to ripen. U'mishamer sadeh u'mipnei mikshaot u'mipnei medla'ot. And you're protecting your field because of, let's say, the squash or the gourd, right? So you have food in there that is still good. Bizman shebala bayit makpid alehim. When the bala bayit is makpid, what does it mean, makpid? Meaning he's meticulous. He doesn't want people to go into his field to take these items. Asurim mishum gezel. So now, if somebody's going to take the sofet te'enim, some guy walks into his field, sofet te'enim, the guy doesn't, what's the guy going to do it anyway? No, the Gemara says, you take the guy's sofet te'enim, the Baal HaBayit, you're a gazlan, the hayavim b'ma'asir, and you also got to give, ma'asir means they're not hefker, because normally the law is, yes, normally the law is, stuff that a person is mafkir, he makes it ownerless, is patur from ma'asir. This stuff over here, it's not considered hefker, because bottom line, he fenced it. Not for the sofet te'enim. He fenced it for the grapes. Wants to make the fence around the grapes, that elevates the sofet te'enim as well. Now, if a guy comes and takes the sofet te'enim, gazlan. The Baal HaBayit has to give ma'aser. And furthermore, there's much in Baal HaBayit makpid alehim. The Baal HaBayit is not makpid. He doesn't care about the sofet te'enim. He doesn't care about the field at all. Mutarim mishum gezel. But there's no gezel on this because he's not protecting it. Ufturim mishum. Ma'asir, and he's patur from the ma'asir. So the whole thing is, I don't care about the fence around the field. The issue is the guy makpid or he's not makpid? If the guy puts a fence for his grapes, but he don't care about the sofet te'enim, so I don't say, well, once you put it around for the grapes, automatically it upgrades the sofet te'enim and makes it hashuv. Nah, it goes with logic. The guy's fencing the field, obviously, because you don't want people to steal his grapes. When it comes to the sofet te'enim, and that fence that he did for the grapes doesn't do anything for the sofet te'enim. And therefore, a guy goes in and takes the sofet te'enim in that case, take it. It's not that gezel. Unless the guy's fencing the field and says, you know what, I don't want them to take my sofet te'enim either. Then already, not only is it not gezel, but you're going to have to give ma'asir on that. So we're back to the question. Don't tell me that you're making bitul because of pirurim. And you're going to tell me because pirurim are hashuv, because since you're locking your house, so automatically they become hashuv. No. Pirurim intrinsically are not hashuv, even if you're locking the doors. And therefore you're not makpid on them. If you're not makpid on them, they're considered mevutal already. It's considered like afar in your mind from the inception. So the Gemara's question is again, why did the hachamim necessitate bitul if you're making already a bidikah with a bi'ud? And don't tell me it's because of piruri. So the Gemara says, Amar Rava Gizera Shemme Yimsa Gluska Yafa Vedate Elave. What are we worried about? The guy might not have made the best bidikah. He might find a gluska yafa, want to call it a bun, a roll. This is regular hametz, right? And what's going to happen? Data elave. He's going to see it. The person right away when he sees such a, you know, special items, value in his mind, for a moment he might come along and say, I want that item. And therefore, if he's going to want that item, that way he's going to be over on bal yira'eh. And Bali Matzeh. So then what did Hachamim say? Make bitul. Now, Chavra, what is the bitul going to have? Well, before the holiday I go along, bitul. Now, comes the holiday, I find this Guska Yafa. Same thing could happen. I'm going to look at it for a second and say, you know what? I want that item. And it's going to undo your bitul. So how is bitul hametz going to help this luska yafa situation? So the Rishonim explain it like this. We're not talking about the Shaim over here. That's the given. We're not talking about a guy that's going to see hametz and is going to want to acquire it for himself on Pesach, knowing that's Isur. The thing is like this. The guy, what he's going to do is he's going to see the hametz. He's going to say, I don't want this hametz, but he might try to figure out a way how he could use it beheter. Meaning, I could feed it to animals of hefker. He got guys, he doesn't want to throw out stuff. You know, he wants to figure out a way now, if you're not going to make bitul, if you're not going to make bitul, so now when the guy sees this item over here, so now ready, it's in his possession, right? He has a gluskayafa. There's a problem. It's his. He owns it. By making bitul, what's going to help? He'll find it. He's not renouncing his bitul. What is he going to start figuring out? How can I feed this to the dog of Hefker? So what? It's not yours. So therefore, the bitul at least, so we're not worried about a guy that's not going to try to acquire it for himself. That doesn't enter the picture. Guy's not a rasha. The guy's going to start making hashbonot. How can I use it better? Good. Figure out a way to use it better. But it's not yours, but. Because you made bitul. If you didn't make bitul before the holiday, what's going to happen? You're going to have a situation where you own it. You own it. That's why everybody might say, by default. So the Gemara says, V'chi mashkachat le'libtele. Why do you have to let him make bitul before the holiday? Let him make bitul on the holiday. Which means when the guy finds the gluska, let him say, oh, gluska, ka'afra dahara. Why make the bitul before? So the Gemara says, Dilma mashkacha dele batar isura, velav birshute kaima, velo matze mevatil. Very important point. We're right, let's say he finds the hametz after the sixth hour on Erev Pesach. As we learned earlier, after the sixth hour on Erev Pesach, hametz is asur. Right. Which means that hametz now is asur bahana'a. Once it's asur bahana'a, really it's not considered yours. It's not yours anymore. Finish the hametz, asur, you cannot benefit from it. Technically, it's not yours. Could you make bitul on something that's not yours? No. So therefore, no. But you have a problem. I'll tell you why you have a problem. Because we're going to learn the Gemara over here. So if it's not yours, so what's the problem? What do you got to give me hametz at all? So the Gemara is going to tell us there's two things that are not yours, but God put them back in your possession to make you hayav. For example, a bor b'reshut rabim. A guy goes and digs a bor, a pit in the reshut rabim. He's a mazik. It's one of the four mazikim, a guy who digs a bor. Somebody falls in the bor and dies. The guy who dug the bor is responsible. And the Torah tells you, ba'al abor yishalem. What's a ba'al abor? He dug a pit in the reshut rabim. It's not his. He doesn't own the bor. So the Torah says, you're right. You don't own the bor. You go in the middle of Ocean Park where you dig a bor in the street. You don't own that. You might be a thief. But bottom line, it's not your bor. But the Torah says what? Ba'al abor. So the Torah says like this. You're right, you don't own it. But God says, I'm putting it in your reshut to make you the owner, to make you hayav. That's the same thing what he does with hametz. Hametz, after the sixth hour, it's really asur b'hana'a. It's not yours. But to be hayav, God says, I'm putting it in your reshut. Now it's as if you own it, and therefore you're going to be hayav. But that's only to make you hayav, but not to your advantage. And therefore you cannot make bitul, because it's really not yours. Also, therefore, what's going to happen now? Tell the guy, make bitul on the holiday. If you find a donut, you make bitul then. Can't make bitul then. By that time already, it's not yours. It's only yours to make you hayav. But it's not yours to make bitul. So the only option was to make bitul before the holiday. So let's read that inside. The Gemara says like this. Dilma mashkachat ala batare surah. You might find the hametz after sha'at isur. Which means after sixth hour on Erev Pesach. Vela b'rishute kaima. Vela matzim b'ftil. And you're not going to be able to make bitul because it's not in your reshut. Why? Ve'amar, Rabbi Elazar, Shnei devarim ena b'rishuto shel Adam. There's two things that are not in his possession. Ve'asana katuf ki'ilu b'rishuto. But the Torah made it as if it's in his possession to obligate him. The other hand, bor b'shut rabim v'hametz m'shesh shahor ulma'ala. Those two things, a bor b'shut rabim and hametz after the 6 hours. So therefore, bitul on Pesach is not an option.